Welcome to KUOW's Speakers Forum. I'm your host, John O'Brien. In this podcast episode, issues surrounding homelessness are some of the most daunting a city leader faces. And with sanctuary city federal funding conflicts on the horizon, the challenges could be set to multiply. Seattle Mayor Ed Murray sees the problem from a historical perspective.
When I was a kid, I lived in a city where the main company collapsed, where jobs moved to the suburbs, where the schools emptied out, where schools were sold off for condos, where you could park downtown because there were no jobs downtown. And if you wanted to shop, you went to the suburbs, to the mall. That city was called Seattle. Like San Francisco, cities are back, and that's put a huge pressure on the housing stock. So we've been growing, and we've been growing rapidly. The point I'm trying to get at, as in San Francisco, we did not plan to grow affordably, which is why we find ourselves in this crisis.
The Seattle University Institute of Public Service and the Project on Family Homelessness hosted a conversation about homelessness with Mayors Murray and Lee at Seattle University's Piggott Auditorium on January 11th. Seattle University Master of Public Administration Director Larry Hubble and journalist Joni Balter moderated the event. Thank you to Sonia Harris for our recording. We're presenting our broadcast version here. You'll find the complete event on our website, kuow.org/speakersforum.
So I want to thank Seattle U for hosting this event. What a wonderful thing to do. I really appreciate it. Thank both mayors for giving us their time. And we'll get rolling. You are both mayors of sanctuary cities, cities that limit cooperation with federal immigration authorities. President-elect Donald Trump, although he probably has a couple other things to do, has threatened to cut off federal funding to such cities. I'm wondering if both of you, what plans do you have? How will this affect how you are already providing services to the homeless? We'll start with you, Mayor Ed Murray.
Thank you, and let me thank Seattle University, Father Sonberg, and the Jesuit community here for hosting this forum and for your commitment to the issue of homelessness. Let me welcome Mayor Ed Lee home to his hometown, Seattle. Welcome. So there is no great city in America that isn't a great city because of immigrants. It's in our history. Our cities don't work unless we have immigrants. It's just the way it works. What the new administration has done, both through threats and promises and intimidation, is basically say they're going to hurt the economy of our cities and they are going to tear families apart. And so what we said is we will not cooperate with federal authorities under the law. And this is a federal system. The power doesn't exist with one person. We are going to sponsor a series of programs beginning on Inauguration Day at McCaw Hall to work particularly with students in our schools to educate them about their rights, to work with folks who maybe have a path to citizenship to get them there, and again, to reassure people that if you are a victim of domestic violence, call the police department. We are not going to report you based on your document status. If you have a fire or a health emergency, call the fire department. If you need to access other services, access those services. You are part of this community. You are our neighbors.
Mayor Ed Lee, the loss of federal funds, it's a possibility. It certainly has been campaign talk, and it could happen. How will you handle that?
Well, let me echo my thanks. To be here in Seattle, my hometown, where I grew up, born and raised, it's an amazing to come back and be the second Ed. Because every time I'm on stage with this mayor and we tackle complex issues, two Eds are always better than one. So that's what I say.
I'm glad you used that.
I have said this multiple times throughout the ugly voices that we heard in a year-and-a-half-long campaign. And, of course, it isn't just immigrants and immigrants. It's everything that our cities stand for in terms of diversity, openness, welcoming, support for women, support for families. I had an opportunity then to tell people, if that's how we feel, then let us all, if we lose a friend, and we, I think, are about to lose a friend in the White House, then my response was, what do we do when we lose a friend? We find other friends, and we find more friends, and we renew and place the value of our traditional friendships of people who believe in our values, to renew them as much as we can. And that's what we've done in San Francisco. We've made a general call out to interfaith, to our academics, to every attorney who's ever done a pro bono case in their life, to corporations whose constituents value the diversity. We've called upon everyone in our city to renew those values that brought us to places like San Francisco and the Bay Area. And in doing so, we discovered a tremendous power of thought, a tremendous stream of emotion and heart that stretches everywhere from the Southern California all the way to Canada. And I think that has given us a much more clear purpose, so that we don't just use the words of diversity and sanctuary and anti-discrimination as just academic words. We actually find ways to live those words in a much more dedicated way. We need our cities to be strong in an effort to battle all of the things that we hear that may happen. I have reminded my board of supervisors that we've got to kind of put down a little bit of our differences, because we have a greater enemy that's going to attack our cities and our regions and our states. And in order for us to do well, we've got to come together very quickly and make sure that our economies are strong, because we are talking about the possibility of fighting over $1 billion of cuts, because we will not end our sanctuary status. We simply won't. So how do you do that? You get people ready, because when they're ready, fear will not rule us. It'll be confidence about how we work together. That's how we're going to play this.
Mayor Lee, this is the first question is for you, from me. The median home price in San Francisco is almost $1.2 million. That's the median. And the median rent price is north of $4,200 a month. How does that impact the homeless situation in San Francisco? And is it time for you to maybe think about changing the rent control laws that you have in the city?
Well, rent control is only one part of it. It's not the answer, in my opinion. First of all, one of the reasons why we have such incredibly high housing prices is based upon a combination of things. Many people want to move back into the cities. The cities are where culture, diversity, openness, acceptance is happening. So clearly there's a strong move, and our populations are growing at a tremendous pace. We have not, and I'd be the first one to make sure we point out all the reasons, but one of the major reasons is we didn't focus on building affordable housing in our city for many, many decades. We were kind of satisfied with rent control. Well, rent control in our city only protects those that are in there already. It doesn't produce more housing. It doesn't help more people. And so we've had to really understand the economics that is going on here, the changes in the job situation, which is why we have to tackle homelessness by not just thinking we can build our way out. We have to do things like increase the minimum wage. We have to make sure there are no barriers in the jobs that people need to have that are going to pay better. And we need to not just look at what our city is doing, even though I'm going to be committed, and I am committed, to building an additional 30,000 units of new housing in the city. We're well on our way by 2020. I'm making sure that a third of it is permanently affordable to low-income people, and half of it is affordable to working class. So we're on our way to doing so, and that housing and that production of housing has already leveled the sharp increase of rents that has been going on for the last 7 or 8 years. Now, for the first time, we've seen the leveling off, and we believe that with additional housing in the city, it'll slightly go down. But I'm also not foolish to think that our city is alone on this. We can only do so much. In fact, Seattle is much larger in geography than our 49 square miles. So I've also taken the opportunity to say, I'm not going to just be a mayor of San Francisco. I have to be a regional mayor. I have to talk with my partner mayors in Oakland and San Jose, Santa Clara, and San Mateo to make sure we don't have suburbs surrounding us who, like Brisbane, said, we don't want to build any more housing. We don't want more people. We just want corporations to come in, and we'll get a lot of the revenue from their companies. We have to then respond, and we are responding as an entire Bay Area saying, you can't do that. And the way we're going to have to respond is with a little bit of enforcement, saying, well, then we're going to deny as a region your participation in traffic and transportation funds, because that ought to go to where the impacted people live. Transportation and housing are linked. So we're having that conversation as the Bay Area, and you'll see me more and more working not as the mayor of San Francisco, but as a regional mayor working with the state of California to effectuate that change. Unless we attack on a multiple levels this very complex issue of homelessness and housing, we won't get anywhere by being one-dimensional.
Thank you. Mayor Murray, something similar is happening in Seattle. Although the prices aren't as high in San Francisco, the median price is something around $600,000, and rents are something, the median rent is something below $2,000. What do you think, what can city government do to make housing more affordable?
Sure. I think cities can do a lot, and I think Seattle is going to do more. I just want to take 1 minute and step back and talk about homelessness, why we got here, how we got here, which we could spend an hour on, so I will try and do it in 1 minute. This is what income inequality looks like. For those of you who've been around for a while, we've talked about the impact of federal cuts since the Reagan administration. We knew what was happening when low-income housing, not even services for the homeless, but low-income housing was cut, homeless services were cut. The state is one of the lowest states in providing mental health. We're pretty towards the bottom as far as addiction treatment. The federal government has receded. When you ask the question about cuts because of Sanctuary City, we're roughly $5 billion a year in our budget. We're a smaller city in San Francisco. $85 million is from the federal government. That gives you an indication that the federal government, including in this current administration, has withdrawn support from cities. So when we use the term homeless, it is an issue of housing affordability, but it's also an addiction crisis. When we did some studies recently on who are the unsheltered in our city, 25% come out of the foster care system. So a lot of failed systems end up on our streets. So I think it's important to talk about how we got here before we talk about how we get out of here. So moving to your question, you know, Ed Lee made a really good point. When I was a kid, I lived in a city where the main company collapsed, where jobs moved to the suburbs, where the schools emptied out, where schools were sold off for condos, where you could park downtown because there were no jobs downtown. And if you wanted to shop, you went to the suburbs, to the mall. That city was called Seattle. Like San Francisco, cities are back, and that's put a huge pressure on the housing stock. This city, urban villages were designed about 26 years ago, so we've been growing, and we've been growing rapidly. Actually, in the 3 years that I've been mayor, the growth has been tremendous. Almost none of that was permitted while I was mayor. It was permitted before. And the point I'm trying to get at, as in San Francisco, we did not plan to grow affordably, which is why we find ourselves in this crisis. So we're doing some serious, serious catch-up. So we launched a program in an agreement with many people in this room, in the low-income housing advocates and among developers. The larger term is called HALA, the Housing Affordability Livability Agenda. At the heart of that is that we're going to build 50,000 units over 10 years, 20,000 at the very low end of this, from basically zero to 60. So core to that is doubling the housing levy, which the voters of this city did. And again, when Reagan started to cut housing programs, this is the first city in America to have a housing levy. Another part of it is that in our urban villages, developers can have a floor or two more if they build affordable units. Affordable units that are there for two generations. There are 65 recommendations, but if we end up fully implementing it, and there's pushback in the neighborhoods, if we fully implement it, we will produce three times the number of affordable housing units than we are producing today, which would be the largest in this city's history, and quite honestly, one of the largest in any city's history.
So we build this event as solutions to West Coast homelessness. So I was wondering if both of the mayors could rattle off two or three things that have worked, are working, or that you expect to work. And we'll start with you, Mayor Lee.
Okay. First of all, I believe as the pioneering of this navigation center, I take you back that some years ago when I was looking at how we can really start doing some serious solution-oriented approaches, I heard hours of testimony as to how our shelter system had failed so many people. You know, it's shelters. Go in by 8 o'clock at night. Get out by 6 in the morning. No services, no support, no transformation of anybody's lives. Just that shelter, in and out, in and out. And when you go to them, they've over time become dangerous and unworkable. I looked at that and said, that's our answer to homelessness? Is those emergency shelters? You got to be kidding. And so I told this to some of the very successful technology companies in San Francisco. Say, I'm struggling with this. This can't be our best answer. You guys help me find a solution. And one who will remain anonymous, a billionaire literally overnight, one of those IPO tales that we hear about, said, I want to do something more sustainable. And I said, well, provide us with the resources and we will come up with it because I'm dissatisfied with what we're doing. So he gave us money, several million dollars, and say, do something better than what you're doing now. And so we created, we studied what was wrong with the shelters. And I wanted a center where you can get 24/7 help. You can get all your belongings protected. You can have a partner if that's how you survived in the streets or in the shelters. In other words, get rid of these barriers that weren't working and bring in a new concept. And in a matter of several months, we created the first navigation center of 70 people who would come into a center and we would, oh, by the way, they don't walk in. We picked them. And we were focusing on those that were most chronically homeless that we can identify. And we would invite them in, and we'd say, hey, you can come in. And he goes, what do you mean, come in? No, I don't want to go to those shelters. No, you can bring anything and everything. We'll store it. We got storage cabinets identified, showers. You can transition. And what do you mean by transition? Well, we know that generally you sleep in the daytime because at night you have to be awake to save yourself. You can get back to some normality. You sleep off those and get back into a mode where maybe if you've got skill sets and so forth, case management, health, services, all of that on site 24/7. So the Navigation Center now, just 2 days ago, we're about to open our third, and it was in the pouring rain with this atmospheric river that was coming through San Francisco. Pouring rain, I forced all the media to come out with me to prove a couple points. we have 14 buildings that we're just about to open at the end of next month on our third navigation center, where we wanted to demonstrate our commitment that these navigation centers are working, because you don't just stay at the navigation centers. They are a place to get you ready for permanent housing, and we will do everything that we can to get you ready. And that's the word on the street. When we tell people we got to end their encampments, they say, well, don't bring me to shelter. But you do have a space at the navigation center, don't you? And that's how the word got out. So we brought the media to this third center in the rain because they thought we would cancel it. So for two reasons. One is we need to allow everybody to feel what it is to be on the streets. If you don't feel it in the middle of rain and winter and the degrees that it has, you don't have a sense of what we're dealing with, how people are there 24/7. The other was, I was excited because there was a resident in the dog patch community who was coming over, and he was saying, I was one of those residents who was approving of the Navigation Center in my district across from where I live. You know, most people will not do that. And he brought his 5-year-old child with him. And I wanted the media to expose the fact that Navigation Centers, the way we've created them, are should be welcomed in every one of our districts because they are solution-oriented and they will work for people. And that's what we believe in. So that's one answer. I've got others that we're working on. But what I decided to do was break down the challenge of homelessness into several camps. One of them is veterans, and we will end veterans' chronic homelessness by the end of this year, 2017. We have about 225 more veterans we've identified. It won't go away for veterans altogether, but we will end it for chronic homeless veterans. And then we've got a very big public-private approach, a $30 million approach to ending family homelessness in the next 3 years. And I'll go into detail with you about what we're doing. And then we're going to tackle some of the other sectors of our homelessness, drug abuse and mental illness, in a very deliberate way that we already are getting ready. But we have to have then a system that will involve the courts, the police, the sheriff, the probation departments. Because I know we were talking about sources of homelessness and broken systems. Guess what? The criminal justice system, it is broken when it comes to here. We're early releasing individuals without identifying where they're going to go. Yes. And they're coming back from the jails to our society and homeless immediately.
Ed, top two or three?
Sure. First of all, yes. So when in the first few weeks I was mayor, folks from the Obama administration visited me, the folks from the interagency on homelessness. And they pointed out, and I have to tell you, a little taken aback by the conversation, that Seattle was actually not a model for dealing with homelessness. In Seattle, King County, and I should mention that San Francisco is a unified government, county, and city, and we are not. So I actually have less than half of the basically the resources that come to homelessness when we talk about this. So anyway, they said Seattle, King County is actually not a model. They pointed out that they felt the problem in our system was that we funded providers, we didn't fund clients. We weren't focused on the homeless. And we were more focused on funding agencies than necessarily outcomes. So we hired some consultants, and for those of you in Seattle, you've probably heard of the Bart Poppy report and the other reports. And they dug down a little deeper and pointed out what the challenge was. So this is what we did. One of the things that we learned is that we need to fund individuals. So, you know, when I've walked through the area under the freeway, sometimes called the jungle, and I've talked to homeless folks, I'll meet an individual who's deeply, deeply depressed and in a state of shock because of death in the families. I'll run across the people who are deeply in the throes of the largest drug addiction that this country has ever seen. I met a woman who wouldn't leave because she didn't want to leave her cat. I met another woman whose husband was in a wheelchair with their son who's disabled but also a sex offender, and they could not find housing because of his status. I met some of the now young men who were the lost boys of Sudan who are still lost in underneath our freeways. Each of those need a different approach. And so let me give you an example of how we've reformed the system. So we've launched this thing called Pathways Home. And when it came to family and children's, the city and the county had an approach that basically rated you based on your need. So if you were homeless, basically it said, and I'm being a little short here, basically it said, you need to be homeless longer. So if you have a toddler and babies or whatever, you don't qualify because there's people who've been on the street longer. So we went back and we've reworked that system. So today, the city has family outreach teams identifying family with children, particularly in our school system, and immediately putting them into housing, shelter and or housing. So instead of having families on waiting lists, families get housed. Instead of telling people you need to be homeless longer, we're saying we're going to house you immediately. That is a very different approach than we've taken. The other thing is there was not a unified list, so we now have a unified list. But the list itself is somewhat passive. It, again, is a rating system. So we've developed teams that take the folks every day on that list and try and identify their individual needs and identify what best meets their needs to get them into housing and get the services they need. Finally, we were invited by Mayor Lee to San Francisco. We're in the process of developing a navigation center, as well as...
Real quickly, what's the holdup on the navigation center here?
So, actually, I don't think there is a holdup in the navigation center.
I thought it was going to open by the end of the year.
Well, the hope was that it would open by late last year, early this year. We're working on it. If we can find a millionaire who can plop down money immediately. But on a more serious note, we're working with the Downtown Emergency Service Center and Sac Lunch, who are our partners. One of the biggest challenges we've had is actually finding space. So that space has been found. It is being outfitted and retrofitted because there aren't a lot of empty buildings that easily have the showers and bathroom facilities that we need. So to be seriously, that's what's slowing us down. In addition, we are changing our shelter system. Our shelter system is much like San Francisco's. People go in it, they go in it, they don't come out of it. If you don't get people out of it into permanent housing, then people on the streets can't get in it. We haven't competitively bid our shelter system in a decade. So we are both going to competitively bid it for those who can offer the services we need, including services that are lower barrier. You don't have to be clean. You can come in with your partner. You don't have to be tossed out at 6 in the morning. Those are the things that we are working on here.
Okay, this question is for both of you. We'll start with Mayor Murray. Let's look at the flip side of this. What hasn't worked?
What hasn't worked?
What has not worked?
So I'll go back to the studies because I think they clearly showed what does not work. The city as a city, not just the city government, but kind of also on the conscience of the people, has been very, very focused on the part of the system the studies say don't work, which is shelters, and which is dealing with encampments, versus getting people into housing and funding things further upstream. There are programs that we are now funding. I think of one at Neighborhood House. It actually works with families that are about to lose their apartment or their house. There's been an accident, someone's injured, someone's lost a job, but in between jobs, it helps fund them and stabilizes them. It basically prevents them from falling into homelessness. So again, we know what didn't work, and we're learning what works.
Mayor Lee, what hasn't worked in San Francisco?
You know, I would generally have to say the status quo hasn't worked. When this is where I'm really, really glad to see that Seattle University is actually creating an academic approach to this, because as complex as it is, there is no one answer. You can't be satisfied with brick and mortar. If I build more housing, it'll have homelessness. No. You got to have the jobs. You got to end discrimination. You got to deal with drug abuse. You got to deal with all these things that have made people's lives, because when you hear the stories of how people lost their housing, it wasn't just because the rents were $4,000 a month. It was that lost job that they couldn't recover from. It was getting that drug addiction that they couldn't get out of. It was not having a healthcare system that they could briefly get some help in the mental illness challenges. It was nobody was talking about raising the minimum wage so that they can work two jobs instead of three just to survive. You have to look at elements of homelessness from the holistic view. And that's why I think it's so important that we have studies about this, because preventing homelessness is as complicated and important as it is to treat those that are homeless, and it is to sustain those that have recently come out of homelessness. You cannot end homelessness by just brick and mortar. You've got to have supportive services to follow that for years. And that's why when people say, why are you spending $240 million a year and not ending homelessness, Mayor? And I said, because you don't understand the complexity of why this is such a challenge. Until you do, you're going to think that it'll go away. It's not going to go away. And the status quo of anything that we do is going to kill us. going to kill our solutions.
So speaking of the $240 million, I spoke with my friend John Diaz, the editorial page editor at the Chronicle. And as you know, and maybe folks here don't know, there was a highly unusual front page editorial last summer in the Chronicle. And one of the many questions they asked is spending that much money. How do you ensure that you're not doing duplicative services? So some of the service providers who are, you know, sort of wrapped into your budget year after year. How do you make sure you're spending that money efficiently?
Well, I did a couple of things this year that I think is caught the attention of a number of people. First of all, I think part of it was to spread the responsibility of treating and dealing with the solutions of homelessness amongst the five different departments that we've been doing over 2-3 decades. And I looked at that and I said, okay, people in the health department, you touch those folks in homelessness. People in the human services, people on DPW, aspects of our police department. But nobody of any of those employees ever said it was their responsibility to end homelessness for the people that they touched. So I created a singular department to do just that. And I took all of those people that were touching homelessness from the multitude of different community-based agency funding to the health response and said, now I have a singular department on homelessness and supportive housing. I have a director, and I put all 110 people under one roof. And now I have an army of 110 people whose defined job is to end homelessness for everybody they touch and come into contact, to figure it out wherever they are at. To me, that's a better money spent than having spent all this money in five different departments and nobody having that mandate to end homelessness for anyone.
So different direction here for you, Mayor Murray. There are a lot of unsanctioned tent camps around the city. And so residents and businesses, people are upset about the safety for the people in those places, as well as the garbage that's piling up around the city. What steps are you taking to clean those areas up and to get those people into much safer places?
So this is one of the symptoms of the larger problem. And when I talked about the reform of our delivery system, Pathways Home, creating more capacity for homeless, getting them matched with the services, that's one of the ways we clean it up. The other thing that we do is, you know, we go in, we have teams. We actually don't do sweeps. There are cities around Lake Washington that do sweeps. But we do cleanups. We go in with multidisciplinary teams of people who try and identify folks who have needs and get them to their services, and get them to services so that we can get in and clean up some of the garbage and human waste and the like. And we do that for several reasons. It's not just a neighborhood issue. Many of these encampments have the highest rate of rapes. There are murders. There are assaults. There are people in danger. So we're going in for a variety of reasons. Let me use the area called the Green Belt or the Jungle. Roughly, there were about 380 people identified under there. We contacted every single one of them about 37 times each. 37 times. That's not a sweep. Of the 380, about 80 people took services. The others chose not to. So this is a challenge, and there's a lot of reasons. One is we need to fix our shelter system. We're owning that. The other is when someone is in the throes of an addiction, it just isn't going to work the first time, and sometimes even the 37th time. But we do go in, and we do clean it up. We do offer people services. I think it's worth pointing out that this is not, in the end, solvable until we solve the overall issue of homelessness. And the idea of illegal encampments that you see in Seattle and San Francisco, you know, you see them in eastern Washington. You see them in our suburban cities. You see them in our coastal counties. And that's one of the things that concerns me about the conversation that we're having somewhat as a city in Seattle. When I read the San Francisco papers or I read the LA papers, these are not a city problem. Something has gone radically wrong in America, and this is a problem throughout Washington State. It is now one of the biggest issues I hear from mayors around the country. And the way it shows itself first is with the encampments that you mentioned.
So you folks have cards if you want to ask questions, and now's the time to pass them to the end of the row. Danielle and Lindsay are coming through. They'll collect those and bring some of them up here so that your questions can be asked as well.
Okay, we've got some lightning round questions here for you. And yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we've got some. We'll start with you, Mayor Murray. We'd like your views on safe injection sites. Then I'll also ask Mayor Lee about that.
So the question was on safe injection sites. I need to be, since public health is actually a county function, this is what we would like to work the county on. Okay, I don't want to sit up here and dictate to the county. I think we should find a way to do them. There were about 5 people within a 10-block area that overdosed as a result of bad drugs over about a 24-hour period. I think that I got the number right. I'm looking at my fire chief here. Bad drugs, bad batch, sold somewhere in that 10-block area in North Seattle. If we had a safe injection site, and we could monitor what people are injecting until we can get them in treatment, those people would be alive. And I know this is, in Canada, it was very interesting when we visited there. There wasn't this question about, aren't you enabling them? And it was, no, we're keeping them alive, and that's at least a start. I think we have a bit of a Puritan strain in our DNA here that says, well, we shouldn't enable people to do something that's bad for them. But I absolutely think we should find a way to do it. And there are significant legal challenges at the national level. So not to put the county on the spot, they're in a tough situation.
Mayor Lee, safe injection sites.
This is where I may learn more from Seattle than adopt my own, but I have to say we're open. I had to kind of force myself to be open to that idea because it doesn't come as a natural thing. Now, we are we provide free needles very comprehensively throughout the city. And of course, we're now having to make sure we pick them up and do well on that side of it. We have a lot of programs that are community-oriented and community-based that are free for drug addiction. So we have a wealth in those kinds of support and services. My question is, there's a lot of individuals, if you think having free injection sites, are they going to voluntarily walk in? Is that the concept? Or do we force them to go in there and get off the streets? I don't know how that's going to work because the sense of freedom on our streets is such that, hey, leave me alone, I'm doing my own thing, and they don't want to be bothered. So this is where I'm trying to understand what is the concept of free injection sites? How does that really work? I'm watching that, and I have to be open to it, especially if our health people who are studying it determine that that could help. I'm trying to measure that.
So you're still on the fence on that? You haven't come to a conclusion as to whether safe injection sites or something?
That's right. I'm open to understanding it better.
Okay. Okay, here's another one. We'll start with Mayor Lee on this one. Declaring that homelessness, a state of emergency regarding homelessness.
Well, we were willing to do that, but we didn't see a utility. We are a sitting county, as Mayor Murray has said, so we pretty much have our own funds, and the state, if by declaring an emergency the state would give us more money, we would have gladly done that, but that wasn't going to do it. What we are joining the other mayors with is that by that declaration, you've got to have the practical effect of freeing more resources up or breaking down some barriers that don't exist. And we didn't see utility to doing that in San Francisco to point. But in joining, and this is why we're working with mayors in the entire West Coast, if we all together as mayors who are confronting this know that it is an emergency, we accept it as an emergency, what are we practically trying to get the federal government to do? And we have to have that practical effect. Let's start getting them to free up those resources where they have failed to do so, whether it's in mental mental illness, or whether it's drug abuse, or whether it's housing monies that they can do a lot better on.
Mayor Murray.
So declaring a state of emergency and giving myself emergency powers is no small thing. And I struggled with it for a long time. There were people in this room who felt that I moved too slow in doing it. But we did it for several reasons. One is people are dying on our streets. More people have died on our streets in any given year than died in the landslide up north. It did allow me to move additional resources quickly. It did allow me to deal with some of the zoning and siting issues more quickly. And I also felt that it was very important to send, even if it was a moral message, a message as in an earthquake to the state and federal governments that there is a crisis, there are people dying on our street, and it is time for the federal government and the state government to step up and once again be our partner on homeless. No city in America can solve this problem by itself. And I know this is not a time where people are feeling hopeful about the federal government, but I particularly want to encourage, I know, so an understatement. Yeah. Okay. So, but I do want to encourage people not to lose that vision, because folks, HIV/AIDS, and this reminds me a lot of the HIV/AIDS crisis, where there are a lot of great nonprofits trying to keep people alive and people were dying all over the place. We would not have saw people live if the federal government had not stepped in and become our partner. We can do a lot to make sure that people in our cities live and get shelter and get treatment, but we cannot solve this or get control on this without a federal government. So if it's not this year, if it's not next year, then it has to be in 4 years.
So I wanted to ask about Housing First. As Salt Lake City gets a lot of good praise for what they've done, but if Housing First, which provides housing first as an unconditional thing and takes care of the underlying problems later, if it originated in San Francisco and Seattle has 1811 Eastlake, so you have both cities doing this, is Salt Lake City doing something better than you're doing? They're just getting better press? What is it?
Well, see, you know, Salt Lake City is about 250,000 people, and I think there are differences there. But actually, Seattle, King County, again, the united effort, did Housing First. The 10-year plan that ended the year before I became mayor identified every unit that was needed to be built to end homelessness on Housing First. But we have more homeless people today than we did before. Not because we didn't get Housing First right, because I actually think people who worked on that got it right, because the problem is much larger than anyone ever anticipated.
Mayor Lee, about that, I read somewhere that San Francisco was first on this, but people don't cite San Francisco for this.
That's right. I think that there is a tremendous difference in what's happening in Salt Lake City and the complications that we're facing in these major cities on the West Coast. I do think we have not only a population difference, I think we have differences in economies, where the job situations are. Potentially our criminal justice system is very different, and it presents all these challenges that may not have the same bearing in Salt Lake City.
Okay, well, one of the reasons why Salt Lake City claims that they've been fairly successful in this is that they have placed a special emphasis on creating more housing outside the downtown core. Is that something that Mayor Lee, that you would consider?
We're just going to say Ed, and whatever happens.
Mayor Ed?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I am a strong believer, not just outside the downtown core, outside of the city core also. And again, I go back to the comments earlier. We have to approach the housing crisis as a region, because it's not just the picture of those that are homeless today. A lot of people tell me they're two or three paychecks away from being homeless, or a one serious health event from becoming homeless. And that means that our working class folks are a very sensitive bunch that can become homeless. And so I've got to approach this from that angle about having a regionalism around more affordable housing, which I think is at the heart of it, and then, of course, all the supportive services to treat those that have suffered the ailments of homelessness for many decades.
Mayor Murray.
So Seattle is twice the size of San Francisco as far as geography. So I actually think we have room in within the city to build more affordable housing. But we also need our suburban cities to step up and develop affordable housing programs that are far more aggressive. We also need them to step up, and we're in conversations with them about allowing churches to have shelters in suburban cities, not just in the city of Seattle. So it is a regional, there is a need for a regional solution.
Mayor Lee and then Mayor Murray, both cities have helped thousands of people move indoors. That's absolutely true. But both cities have also tried and failed. They've both had plans to end homelessness. They haven't ended homelessness. Is it reasonable to say that we can ever solve this problem without getting a dent on poverty?
I don't think you can. I think when you talk about ending homelessness, and I make clear, I can never promise to do something I know is not possible, is to enlighten people about the complexities and the causes of homelessness so that we can do as much as we can to prevent it. If you don't have good jobs for working folks, if you don't have a return policy for veterans to welcome them back in and to make sure that all the troubles that they had can be treated well, if you don't have a coordination of services for folks, if you don't have affordable housing, if you don't sustain the support services for those that you've been able to get into housing so they don't go back to the bad practices and engage themselves into failed outcomes, if you don't do all of those other things, you are talking really a sense of approaching poverty and how to solve poverty. I don't think you can solve homelessness without having a really great approach to solving poverty in general, and also to end discrimination and end the barriers to life successes.
Mayor Murray. And Danielle and Lindsay, if you're out there, bring those questions up. Okie dokes. We'll take them. Yes, go.
Your question was, can we really get at homelessness without dealing with poverty? I opened my remarks by saying, this is what income inequality looks like. There are two books that I recommend for my staff to read. One is called Our Kids by Robert Putman. The other is Eviction or Evicted by Matthew Desmond. So we have basically, over the decades, almost four decades, undermined the middle class, shrinking wages, jobs disappearing, housing affordability options disappearing as well. So as I said, unless we address the underlying causes of homelessness, which are rooted in poverty, 25% of folks who are homeless were in our foster care system. The city has a 6% black population. It is estimated that 30% of the homeless in our city are black. That deals with racism and institutional racism. So you cannot get an homelessness unless you get at these things. In cities, you know, whether the work we've done together on minimum wage, the work we're doing together in expanding affordable housing, cities can be models, but those models have to be taken to scale. We can't be little bubbles.
That's it for this podcast of Speakers Forum, featuring a conversation about homelessness with Mayors Ed Lee and Ed Murray. They spoke at Seattle University's Pigott Auditorium on January 11th. Thank you again to Sonia Harris for our recording. Tune in again soon.